Hello and welcome to a brand new installment of Nintendo News Report for Friday, July 20th, 2018, in the year of our Lord. My name is Alex Calafi, joined by two of our regular Nintendo News Reporters who talk about a very light news week and a smallish but pretty cool what we've been playing. I am, of course, joined by the infallible, wonderful Donald Terrio.
I didn't think I'd be infallible, but I know that Amazon certainly isn't.
No, because they had Prime Day and then everything collapsed. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, it happened that my copy of Octopath shipped on Prime Day, along with the Sonic Mania Plus, which I think we'll be talking about here shortly anyway. But yeah, didn't get it until very late.
It's funny that you say that, because my copy of Sonic Mania Plus shipped a little late, too. I remember I ordered it on Monday, so I didn't necessarily expect to get it on Tuesday, but I didn't get it Wednesday either. I ended up getting it mid-Thursday, which was a little on the disappointing side, but I did end up playing some of it. Also joined by Justin Berube. Hi.
Hey. I'm very fallible to our audience because I don't like Breath of the Wild. But I guess Donald doesn't like it either, so what's going on?
The extremely fallible Justin Berube. and I am the somewhat fallible Alexander Kulafi. We got an okay show for you. Someone in the chat, a couple people in the chat, were talking about the WarioWare Gold demo, wanted to know our thoughts on it. Now, Donald, you told me you haven't played it yet. Justin, have you?
No, I haven't played it yet. I've been busy the last 2 days.
Okay. I got myself a copy of that WarioWare Gold demo, and it's pretty substantial, I'll say. It has four sort of micro game sections that take advantage of the various control schemes. So there's one that's button-based, there's one that's twist-based, there's one that's touch-based, and the last one is kind of like a mixture of the previous three. And what surprised me so much about it is not only that there was a pretty good amount of content, but that there were a lot of new games, like a lot of new micro games that I didn't necessarily expect in each of those sections. Now, they could have loaded it up for the demo, but even the twist one, I was like, oh, they just have to include some of the ones from the GBA game. No, they had a lot of new twist ones, which I was pleasantly surprised by. It's a neat little thing as far as the micro games are concerned. I wish there was 3D in it, but because the micro games themselves are on the bottom screen, I kind of understand. The other thing that's in that demo that's interesting is that it plays what I believe is the introduction to that game, or the introduction to that game's story, where WarioWare is starting a game tournament in order to get money through some convoluted means, and he is fully voiced by Charles Martinet, like it is the E3 show floor, and it is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Justin, you've been on the E3 show floor, and you've heard Charles Martinet do that thing where he kind of sounds like Mario, but he talks for way too long, so he doesn't sound like Mario.
Yeah, I think Martinet at E3 has always enjoyed doing Wario more, because he can just cut loose and stop being like the nice guy, and he can rip on attendees, and he likes to rip on the Lakers because they're right next door, which always confused me because he has the Lakers colors on.
Yeah. But yeah, it's that kind of thing where he definitely takes some liberties. And it feels like it's the highest produced WarioWare by far. Levanid says that he loves that WarioWare is fully voiced. I don't know if this is a criticism. I guess this is a concern. But as someone who really loves the WarioWare games, and I think a good WarioWare game is darn near perfect. One of my favorite things about WarioWare is that it's so offbeat, and the humor just feels so aggressively weird and Japanese in a way that Nintendo games don't usually get. And this, it feels very dialed back based on the intro to the demo, where it feels like it's Martinet being funny, and it feels less like the, okay, like those wacky, boom, bombastic sound effects that are always in every WarioWare game where it's got that sense of funk. I don't necessarily hear that from this demo so far, but the micro games are fully intact. And from looking at the sort of information I've seen come out about the game so far. It seems like the story mode is relatively substantial, which is good considering there's 300 micro games. And the other thing is that like all those goofy little toys and knickknacks and mini games, there's apparently going to be a ton of them in this game. So in the same way that WarioWare is all these micro games and then this just toy box of colorful fun stuff, it seems like it's still going to be that. But it remains to be seen, I guess a couple more weeks now, how they figure that out. So there's WarioWare Gold. Are either of you guys WarioWare heads like me?
I like WarioWare. I've played all of them. Not counting Game and Wario. I guess I played that a little bit, if you want to count that. But I love 9-Volt. 9-Volt's my man.
They're bringing Gamer into it.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. It might just be a compilation of previously existing micro games, but you can play Gamer.
I'm more of a touched fan. That's what really got me into it, although I did go back and put a disturbing amount of time into the original when it was an Ambassador game.
Yes, and people who are Ambassador can play WarioWare right now, and that's one of the best games in that series, I think.
I think that you could also play Touch as a 3DS download from the I think it was one of the first My Nintendo rewards.
Yeah, something like that. It's like weird because it counts, I think, as a DS
game. DSiWare.
Yeah, DSiWare game on your 3DS, but the only way to get it's on your 3DS. So
is that in this territory?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a My Nintendo reward, though, so I don't think they've ever offered it for direct sale.
Oh, man. I think I have a physical copy of that game somewhere anyways. Touched is really good. Twisted is one of my favorites, I'd say. Twisted's so good. And then Game & Wario, I know you didn't play much of it, Justin. And Game & Wario is probably maybe one of the weakest, or one of the weaker.
I wouldn't even count that as part of the series, just because the name is different. I'd say it's okay. A spin-off.
fair point. Is it part of the Game & Watch series?
No, it's not. It's an homage to Game & Watch in name, and a spin-off of the WarioWare franchise is how I would picture it.
All right. But what I'll say is that's a better game than you think it would be. It's not necessarily amazing. There are good games and bad games, and the fact that there's mini games and very few micro games because of it's thanks to the 9-volt thing. It doesn't feel exactly like a WarioWare game, but the mood is there. It has a lot of toy boxy type stuff. The Miiverse integration is great, or was, I suppose. Rest in peace.
Yeah. Was.
And it's a better game than people give it credit for. Like, I'm not saying it's like a 10, maybe it's like a 7, but I think it's a pretty good 7. Anthony says, I only just got that it was a Game & Watch pun. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, one of the things I liked about the original is that it eventually came out on GameCube, and that had multiplayer, and that was a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm not saying it was like super good, but it was entertaining.
Do you know how much overlap there is between the two versions of that?
I think it's like almost exactly the same, only they've added multiplayer modes to take advantage of the existing micro games. I don't think there were any new micro games added. And I'm pretty sure off the top of my head that the Game & Wario logo is almost the same as Game & Watch. Like, if you look that up, I'd have to look it up, but if I remember correctly.
Okay. I've been playing a couple more things. Been clipping away at Wolfenstein. I'm about the 40% mark, maybe. I've been playing it on easy just because I don't have the time to deal with first-person shooter struggling, nor do I have the mental or emotional capacity for it at this point in my life. It's good. I like the... I've been using the Splatoon-style controls a little bit, and the motion aiming is pretty cool. Looks like that's probably going to be about a 6-hour game by the time I wrap it up. I don't know. It seems pretty good so far. It's no additional complaints. I enjoy the story. I enjoy BJ Blazkowicz. The shooting, I'm really glad I'm not playing it on harder difficulties because, man, it feels like it wouldn't be that enjoyable. Not to do a slight against the game too hard because I haven't played it on that harder difficulty outside of the demo event where I played it at, but it seems like one of those first-person shooter games where it's like kind of hard, and you're really inching your way forward, but not necessarily in a way that feels like mechanically or mentally overwhelmingly stimulating. Just kill the right guys, move a little forward, get killed, repeat the cycle, whatnot. Sonic Mania Plus, I got that game. I'm four zones in. That one's real good. I like Sonic Mania Plus. They made a really good Sonic game in like a year.
Are the new characters available from the start? Because I think I still have a save file for the original game.
I'm not totally sure. I used the time attack mode. In the time attack mode, you can use all the characters once you have a level unlocked in time attack mode. And I'm guessing you should have full character availability like the original release.
I'm thinking about getting that physically.
It's a good physical game. The only thing is, they use the same DVD size or PS4 or whatever size slipcover for the game, except they use the same Switch box, so.
Yeah, it's kind of awkward because the thing that holds the Switch game in place actually came, because I got that at the same time I got Octopath, and the thing that held the Switch case in place actually came out with game when I tried to pull the game out, so. Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. So that's what I've been playing. I'm only four zones in, so I haven't like really whittled away at like finding the secrets or the emeralds or whatnot. So I'll probably have more to say on the next episode. Justin, you've been playing Sky Skipper?
Yeah, I played probably less than an hour of Sky Skipper today after I got home from work. This is the old Nintendo arcade game that I guess was only test marketed in North America, but never was officially released. I'm pretty sure it came out in Japan. But I don't know how to describe this game, but I'll try. You start the game out, and it is a square attack game. It's like a really classic arcade game. Let's get that out of the way. You start out as Mr. Yu in a plane, and you fly around. You can scroll left and right, and it goes up a little bit. You can go up into the sky a little bit more. There are gorillas throwing stuff at you, and you want to shoot the gorillas by dropping these bombs. You drop bombs when you attack on them to stun them for a bit, and once you stun them, the real objective becomes available for the most part. And throughout the level, like the whole horizontal level, there are different suits of cards represented by the image, so like diamonds, hearts, clubs, and spades on different animals, and you want to collect all of them that are across the entire stage. If you get confused as to where they are, the bottom of the screen when you start shows the layout, like underneath everything is kind of like a quasi map, and you want to go and collect all of them. Now you get bonuses if you collect all of the same suit, like four of the same suit at once, you get like a point bonus, or if you get four of the same colors, point bonus, or if you get one of each, you get like a smaller bonus. So there's strategy in not hitting the incorrect suits and trying to collect all of one suit at once before finishing the level. And there isn't a time limit, but you have a fuel gauge, which is kind of like a time limit, and you can refuel once, I think, on each level to get like a little bit more gas from where you started. But the game is difficult to start off with. You can fly in any direction, really, but there is a learning curve to it. And that's Sky Skipper so far. I managed to get within the top 15 on the Score Attack leaderboard in my short time, which I'm sure will be destroyed when I go back to it. But it's fun. I'm doing the review, so I'm going to dig into it a bit deeper. One thing that I'm confused about right now is there's an option to turn the original character graphics on. It starts off as off, and I've turned them on, and I can't notice a difference, and I've taken screenshots. So hopefully I could figure out what that's about.
But if the history wasn't there, would the game be as good, as pretty good as you're saying it is? Or does that kind of help the enjoyment somewhat, knowing that you're playing this special, almost lost Nintendo game?
Knowing that does definitely help the experience. It is a little bit rough in some ways. But I do need to spend some more time with it before coming to a conclusion, which everybody will be able to read about on NintendoWorldReport.com.
NintendoWorldReport.com. Anthony points out that the Mighty and Ray are available from the start, and he has never played Mania before. Plus,
okay,
so there you go.
But yeah, I urge anybody with like an interest in Nintendo history to at least check out Sky Skipper, just to at least give Nintendo like encouragement in releasing these weird things that we would never otherwise really get to play.
Yeah. That Punch Out and Donkey Kong I'm looking at as a rainy day purchases when the time comes. All right, moving on to news. It's going to be a very short week on the news front. Might actually be a short show all around. It has been the last few weeks, but only because
it's the dog days of summer, and well, we don't have it doesn't seem like we're getting a Nintendo Direct anytime soon, despite what some prominent image boards would tell us.
No, it's going to be Mother 3D and then King K. Rool. No. Ashley from WarioWare. This not that popular character outside of specific people on message boards. No, that's going to be the big stinger at the end of the Direct. And oh, there's going to be a Mario 64 HD remake. Ugh.
All by the end of August.
4chan rumors are very interesting, and that the thing about 4chan that's beautiful is that it's all anonymous, which does two things. One, it's the reason why there are genuine leaks that end up there, because it's not going to get traced back to anyone. And two, it's the reason why every time I go on the V board, it's, I would say, my favorite like video game message board, there's a new Nintendo Direct leak. And it all has like some of the same beats, like, oh, they include a few already known release dates in there. Oh, here's something that sounds right. And then, oh, here's the Smash Bros. Character that I want to will into the game. And it's, oh, they all follow a recipe. I think we're going to get one August, September, and I think it's going to be a good Direct. I would expect the same thing we got with whenever that Xenoblade 2 sort of Direct, not literally the Xenoblade, but the one that sort of did the 5 or 6 minute overview. Wasn't that like September, October?
That was mid September. Yeah.
I'm thinking there
September, probably an indie showcase at the end of August going into PAX Prime.
Yeah. We need some opportunity to find out that No More Heroes is getting delayed into next year. We also need an opportunity to find out a release date for Dark Souls Remastered, because where in the world is that thing? That's what I want to know. We got some news. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe adds Breath of the Wild crossover content. It includes the Master Cycle Zero from Breath of the Wild and the Champion's Tunic Link. So that's a costume for the default Link. That's not like a different kind of Link, right?
Right, it's just an add-on costume. Like, you can get the different kind of Inklings, or if you're like me, you have the Mega Man and Sonic racing suits unlocked for your Mii.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. So that's cool, and that's available now. And there would be more Mario Kart 8 Deluxe updates. I wonder if that's going to be to transition to a new Mario Kart game, or if that's going to transition towards new DLC. Or if it's just to encourage people to keep buying this game.
It, more to encourage people to keep buying this game. And also, aren't we supposed to be getting a Mario Kart mobile game sometime this year?
Or I think before a fiscal year ends, they said. Yeah. So it might be early next year.
Early 2019 as well. So keep it fresh, and then hey, yeah, now you can play Mario Kart on your cell phone in some fashion.
Yeah, yeah. So
while we're talking Mario Kart, I just want to say I think there could be another Mario Kart in some form of development, but they're going to hold on to it until 8 Deluxe sales start to really drop off. That's my theory anyway.
And maybe keep it as a late Switch release?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
And considering that 8, because then it will, well, I suppose if they did that, it would give them a game for Switch too, but I think Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is still like one of the best-selling games in the world right now. So expecting Mario Kart sales to slow down, you're going to be waiting a while.
And the Mario Kart 8 sales were really good too, even though it was on Wii U. Didn't Mario Kart 8 pass 10 million, or did it get really close?
It got to about 7.5, which, given that we're talking about the Wii U, a system that sold like less than twice that, that's pretty good attach rate, but yeah, I think 8 Deluxe, if it's not over 10 million yet, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, one in two Wii U owners owns Mario Kart 8. Although I wouldn't be surprised if one in two Switch owners have Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Yeah, Mario Kart Wii sales are still impressive.
34 million for that game lifetime, I think.
Damn.
And yet I don't remember it at all.
In other crossover news, Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate is also getting Breath of the Wild crossover content. The Switch hit will be represented in Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate. Includes the Champion's Tunic and the Hylian Shield. Palico's will be able to dress up as Korok. That's neat.
And Justin just flipped his table over.
The extremely fallible.
You say that, but I still pre-ordered the limited edition Breath of the Wild art book because I'm that crazy of a collector. So
yeah. You need a reminder of your hate every time you go out to your living room.
Yeah, I'm going to have a shrine of it. Be like, you see this? I have this here to remind me of how bad the game is.
Yeah, but, I mean, this isn't like, as I mentioned in the news, like in the news article for this, this is like the third different Zelda crossover that they've had with Monster Hunter at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could do I spent a lot of time dressed up as Link from Ocarina of Time in 4 Ultimate, and apparently you could be Toon Link in the original Generations, so there's a very good chance that stuff might also be coming, considering Generations Ultimate is supposed to be the culmination of everything to that, up until World, basically.
Leavenead purports 8.42 million for Mario Kart 8 on Wii U, which is even better. And that's so what 14 million Wii U sold?
13 and a half, so...
Damn.
While we're talking about Breath of the Wild, Link, I just want to say, since it's a short show, I'll go into it a little. I am excited for Breath of the Wild Link in Smash Brothers, because I've never really liked playing as Link in Smash Brothers, but the changes seem interesting.
Now you can ignore it and be right in your own mind. Yeah. Okay. I guess the changes do seem interesting. It seems like they're reinventing the character a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's good, especially since there's three Links now.
Are you going to be able to swap movesets in this game? Do we know yet? You have to be able to. That seems like a Smash 4 thing that has to stick around, just because there are so many moves per character now.
Part of me hopes it sticks around, but with how difficult it was to get all the moves, they need to make that easier. Like, I know Sakurai likes to make certain things hard to do, but when you have a feature like that that could really significantly change gameplay and you can't easily access all of it, even after playing what I would consider a fair amount of time, it's garbage.
Yeah. The Splatoon 2 Octoling Amiibo launch dates have been announced. Europe and Japan getting those three Splatoon Octoling figures on the 9th of November, while North America is seeing them on December 7th, along with the Inkling Amiibo in the Smash series. Wow, that is not great timing.
Yeah, especially considering most of my strategy for getting Amiibo at this point is literally walk into EB Games the morning it comes out and just pick up a copy. The last time I went to an EB Games on the day that a Smash Brothers game launched, I was in line for over an hour.
Wow.
Now, granted, that was a different EB, but they had all hands on deck, and yeah, it was still going through. I think the one I would go to now has twice as many cashiers, so maybe it won't be as bad, but that's going to be a very long day.
How many Splatoon Amiibo are there at this point? It has to be over a dozen at this point, right?
They did two rounds of the boy-girl squid combo for one.
So that's six.
And then Callie and Marie were eight. They did another boy-girl squid, so that's 11. Marina and Pearl is 13, so the Octolings would be 16.
And then there's going to be this Inkling Smash Amiibo.
So 17. And eventually they'll probably sell a Player 2 version of that that's the boy, so make it 18.
That's more than there have been Pokemon Amiibo, I think.
Yeah, there's only been because they've never. So we've got the five. What is it? Five or six Pokemon that are in Smash, and Detective Pikachu, and that's pretty much it.
And then you can add trainer. Maybe we'll get Squirtle and Ivysaur, though I wouldn't necessarily count on it.
I think they kind of confirmed that we would get something like that.
Oh,
But
really?
yeah, I think the Nintendo website in Japan said something that all the new characters are getting amiibo, but it would get confusing. Like, would Pokemon Trainer be like this giant amiibo with all three Pokemon on it, or would they sell the trainer and the Pokemon separately?
I'm guessing that's just going to be the trainer by himself, unless they do a slightly larger one or
You know, I
like
don't
a.
think they would do the trainer by himself just because when you power up the characters, right, it would have to be the character. I don't know how you do that with the trainer.
Unless the buffs apply to all of the Pokemon, regardless.
Yeah, they could do that. All right, make it happen, Nintendo. I want to see that.
Leavenead says, I wonder if there will be any amiibo for Let's Go. I think they're so focused on Pokemon Go that they probably won't do.
Yeah.
If Let's Go came out in 2016 or 2015, maybe, but in 2018, I don't necessarily see it happening.
The plastic crap for Let's Go is the Pokeball Plus.
And don't forget, Pokemon Rumble on Wii U had all those NFC figures that were prior to amiibo.
And they were blind bags. And they wonder why they failed.
Yeah, and I showed up at GameStop with my Wii U. I'm like, you mind if I scan these through the ball to see which ones I want? And they're like flipping out at me, telling me no.
Do you hear this Pokemon Let's Go news that came out today? And it's translated, so we don't necessarily know what it means. But the official Japanese Pokemon website, this comes from Nintendo Life, has recently been updated with some new information. And according to translation by the folks at Silicon Era, taking on gym leaders is about to get a whole lot tougher. What they're basically saying is the Brock thing that everyone freaked out about, where you needed to have the right type of Pokemon to get into the gym. The website is suggesting that there will be things like that for every single gym. So it could be certain Pokemon types, levels, and other such qualifications, which suggests that this is intended to be a starter Pokemon game, which is a little sad, but totally understandable. I wonder if there'd be a way to turn that off. I doubt it. I'm guessing this is for people's lapsed Pokemon fans and first-time Pokemon fans after Go.
Yeah, probably. And you're I think we're because like they would have to put something in the they'd have to put something in the grass in Viridian Forest or something to get a grass type, because I think that was the E3 challenge. But by the time you get to say Misty, if you don't start with Pikachu, like if you're playing Let's Go Eevee, you should still have access to Bulbasaur. So just do some you might have to do some like grinding with him. Although I wonder if like in Yellow you could go to Route 22, catch a fighting type Mankey, and go to fight Brock with that. I wonder why they wouldn't just allow that through, unless they really want you to go for the the quadruple effective damage.
I mean, they're probably trying to teach people how to play Pokemon. And like fighting, there's definitely more accessible type combinations. Like the interactions between steel and anything else is something that no one's gonna know unless they've played Pokemon. I would say at least for a couple dozen hours, if it's their first time, or a couple games, ideally. Like poison is another one of those types, where you always thought grass was weak to psychic until you actually learn the typing chart. And you're like, oh, wait. So I think they're going with the super accessible stuff. Because one of the first things you need to know if you're playing a Pokemon game is that rock and ground do not like water. That is like one of the first lessons you learn. And because of Bulbasaur, grass you want to throw in there too. So it makes sense to me. Still. Interesting times we live in. I guess it's still going to be exciting enough to ride on Pokemon's back and just see all the short trainers in HD. I hope we see some footage of the 2019 game. by early next year. It'll probably be in February, right around Pokemon Day.
Yeah, or
some brief trailer that has teases like a couple new Pokemon.
Yeah,
I don't know. So, because remember, if they do though, they're probably going to go dark for 3 months afterwards.
Well, yeah, that's what I think would happen, because I think they really have to show a new Pokemon quickly after this game comes out, because they've basically said you're going to be able to get a new Pokemon in Pokemon Go, I think, if you play Let's Go.
Remember when that trailer for the Z-Guard movie came out, and then the little embryo dot guy hopped around in the Japanese movie trailer and people were freaking the F out, and then it turned out that the Z-Guard stuff is like would never be used in a video game outside of being half-assed.
No, like they did the cell, like that was one of the Z-Guard cells, wasn't it?
Yeah,
they ended up putting that, like they had the ginormous fetch quest in Sun and Moon for all 100 of those cells, so you could make the big Z-Guard 100, but they really simplified that in the Ultras. Like, you can get, I think you just have to do like two fights, and they give you, if or once you've caught Z-Guard, because you can catch them in the game, they give you the 50 cells you need to make Z-Guard 100.
Has any, no Pokemon have been revealed as like, this has not been in a game yet, right?
The last, like, that didn't already have a game attached to it.
Yeah.
I think you're going back to like Lucario and Weavile before Gen 4. Because we saw those, I think we saw them like early on in the Mystery Dungeon games.
No, and you're going back to the Sudowoodo pre-evolution.
Or Bonsly. Oh yeah, Bonsly from XD.
And one of the movies. It was like two movies or one movie before it actually was even the Deoxys movie, I remember.
I mean, if you want to get into localizations, we could just bring up Meryl.
Yeah.
Because that thing didn't, like, that was out in that, because that was already, that came in Gold and Silver, which was already out in Japan. But when they started bringing him around in the anime, that Gold and Silver hadn't come out yet.
Excuse you, Pika Blue. I'm looking at all these rumors of Pokemon, convincing artwork, convincing fake artwork of Gen 8 starters. Man, Pokemon fans really know how to make art that looks like Game Freak art now.
Yeah.
Which is why there are so many good fan games.
Yeah. Although I wonder where they're going to have the 2019 Worlds, because there's probably going to be a big reveal of some kind, and I'd really love for it to be in Canada.
Don't they reveal it at the end of each previous Worlds?
Yeah, like we get the announcement of the next world site at pretty much on like Sunday the like 20th or 19th of August. It's the third Sunday in August. So.
Oh, was it in Hawaii this year? Is it in Hawaii this? No, that was a few years ago.
That was a couple of years ago. This one's in Nashville.
I remember when the Pokemon World Championships was in Boston, and I got to be there for a few days. That was a lot of fun. I remember going to the Pokemon Center and spending like $100 on a Rayquaza plush and the Pikachu that's dressed like an American Revolutionary soldier, which is very exciting. That's one of my favorite plushies, although I don't have any room on my current shelf for it. I got DJ KK chilling there. And then I got some other stuff. And then I remember being there when the console version of Pokken Tournament was announced. I think there's a video of me getting the reaction, like the E3 style reaction on our YouTube.
Yeah, the opening ceremonies. That was a fun day to cover.
Yeah. I remember I got to interview a world champion. Oh, and that was the one where I reported that the future of Pokemon involved flowers, and it was one of the highest performing news stories we'd had in some time. And I still don't know what that means. So, I don't know. I think maybe Alola is that maybe what flowers referred to?
Yeah, like Comfy.
Yeah. I guess so. And then there was, but there was a flower Pokemon that we assumed he was talking about, the King's Pokemon in X and Y.
The Eternal Floette that never ended up going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, that's our Arceus of that.
Except Arceus eventually did come out in some form. That Floette has never been in the wild.
I asked about that Arceus, however you want to pronounce it, event. And they're just like, we thought it'd be too difficult.
Dude was level 80, to be fair.
Like, we thought about it. Yeah, that was like one of my interviews for X and Y with Masuda, I think. And I that was like one of those later questions. I'm like, yeah, what can you tell me? Like, how come you never did the Arceus event with the Ezer flute? And like, they all looked around, like the translators, like, confused, and they like tried to give him the question, and that's what they came up with. And he's like, yeah, we thought it'd be too difficult.
Yeah. I think that's a really good question. And then Pokemon Symphonic Evolutions. I got to see that because that was in Boston that week. I ended up getting a press pass to that. And then Masuda, I believe, conducted the last song, which was very exciting. He was sitting like a few rows in front of me.
Press pass to that? I was a big sucker and paid.
Yeah, yeah. I feel very blessed. So that was a fun weekend. Oh, and then there was some what was it like? There was like a terror threat that weekend too. It was after I had left, but it was like Sunday morning. So like there were two kids who like had a bunch of guns in their car.
And they were headed for the championship. Yeah, that was, I don't think we ever covered that on the site, but that was certainly something disturbing. Probably not the most disturbing thing I've ever heard of happening at a world championships, but I don't think I could say what that one was.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't.
I will point out that it was referred to on a Giant Bomb cast, and happy 10th birthday, Giant Bomb.
Oh yeah, happy 10th birthday, Giant Bomb. At your best, you are the best. Yeah, happy birthday, Giant Bomb. So that was a crazy weekend all around. It was fun getting to see the Pokken reveal. It was fun doing all that stuff, and then getting to see the world championships like actually happen live was kind of fun. It's a relatively small event. Like, it's a smaller event than you think it's going to be. Like, there were a few thousand people there. It was crowded, but not like local AnimeCon or PAX East crowded. And it just, as someone, like, I don't even remember if I brought my game. I was just hanging out, walking around. I got to play the arcade version of Pokken Tournament because they brought a few of those. Good time all around. But yeah, hoping for more Gen 9 or Gen 8 stuff, excuse me, real soon.
Yeah. So in other minor news, South Park, The Stick of Truth, which is the prequel to The Fractured But Whole, mm-hmm. that was developed by Obsidian and originally came out on PS3, so maybe this one won't have as many bugs when it comes out. That's going to be out before the end of September, according to an Ubisoft financial call.
Yeah, that one plays like a Paper Mario game.
Yeah.
It's a very easy Paper Mario game, but I remember it being a pretty fun time. I don't know. I kind of want to play the sequel at some point, but I think I want to wait for it to drop off in price a lot on Switch.
Yeah, maybe it is. PC. It is an Ubisoft game, so I think at some point it's going to be $20.
The Green Man Gaming PC sale has it for about $17, which would have been in my price range a year ago. But now I'm like, I can wait for 10 or like 12 or 15 on Switch, whenever.
Can't wait to start being able to take advantage of those sales at some point.
Yeah, having a PC is the best until you have 500 Steam games and have played 12. Yes, sorry. Oh, I played the demo for the new Taiko game because that's on the Japanese eShop.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'm considering pre-ordering it on PlayAsia, even though it's all but confirmed for release in the West, because on August 9th, the English patch is going to come out for the Asian version, maybe the Japanese version too. But yeah, there's a free demo on the Japanese eShop for the new Taiko game, the one where you drum using the Joy-Cons. It is two songs. One of them is the same one that's in every Taiko game. And then there's one other one that's pretty okay. My impression of the drumstick handling is that the HD rumble feels really good for it because it feels like you're hitting a drum when you hit it. The only thing is it's kind of finicky because hitting the side of the Taiko drum and hitting the top of the Taiko drum, it happens at two slightly different angles. And I found that on an easier difficulty, I was doing okay and I was having a real good time. But on harder difficulties, I started to get slipped up. And I don't know if it's me or the motion control yet. But, yeah.
I think Galmetal's going to hit North America first. Like, we've got a window for it. We've got the box art. So that's another take on the drumming, although it's more rock-focused than, like, we'd see in a Taiko Drum Master.
Leafanita asks, can you play with the GameCube bongos if you plug them in with the Smash adapter? That's a beautiful question, but I have no idea.
Speaking of that, that mm-hmm. leads into something I want to talk about. And yeah. That's this week, Hori announced this officially licensed by Nintendo stand for Switch in portable mode called Nintendo Switch Multiport USB Play Stand. It's $40. It's on Amazon now. And it has four USB ports, which is more than the actual Switch stand to play on TVs has. But this is for portable play, basically. And I think it's going to be really good for Smash Brothers players who just want to set up a quick game with GameCube controllers on the go.
But would you really want to do 8-player Smash?
Well, I'm not saying 8-player Smash. I'm thinking just two people could sit down and use GameCube controllers. I mean, you could get crazy and do 8-player Smash on this. Though it does say you should have... It says AC adapter required to get this thing to work, obviously, because it's going to be drawing more power for all that USB stuff. I'm wondering if a battery pack would work or not. I have no idea. I will try it. Because I'm probably going to order this, because it would be pretty cool to just be able to sit down and play Smash with a GameCube controller on the go.
Yeah, that is kind of neat. Would you be interested in buying a repurposed Joy-Con that like feels like a long GameCube controller?
What do you mean by... Oh, you mean like just...
So like for handheld mode, basically, so, where it'd be two so like sides a of a Joy-Con. GameCube
controller.
Exactly. Exactly that.
Yeah, if Nintendo released that, I'd be interested in grabbing that, because that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Because I'm probably going to put a ton of time into Smash, let's be honest. I love playing Smash. When I play Smash Brothers, I do have characters I think I'm better with and I'd consider my mains, but then when it comes down to it, play is probably most of the cast. And I think as a good player, you kind of have to a degree, to really understand what the other characters are capable of and what to expect. So that's with this many characters, that's a lot of time to put into a Smash game to really understand the nuance of it all.
I'm going to pick up the game, put my character selector on Young Link, and then never lift the character selector ever again.
Well, you're going to have to unlock them.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to play as Young Link much at all. Although I'm sure some people of a certain time and place will love Young Link. I'm mostly looking forward to Snake and Pichu and Pokemon Trainer.
I think I'll probably going to roll on with... my triple team of annoyance, Shulk, the Duck Hunt Duo, and Wendy Koopa.
Duck Hunt Duo is so good.
Yeah, they're on my list of annoying characters, because I like to play as bizarre characters that have annoying things. So I like Ice Climbers, Rosalina and Luma, Duck Hunt, Little Mac. I also like Mario a lot, but I'm looking forward to trying new Ganondorf, believe it or not.
It's what's so new about him.
His Smash moves are different now. He uses his sword. He seems a lot faster. And I liked Ganondorf to a certain degree in Smash Brothers Melee. And since then, they've just made him slower and slower. And it's just actually hurt the character a lot.
Trying to make him more distinctive from Captain Falcon. Which I bet they're also going to do with the Mario Brothers this time around, too. Give him a little more difference between them. All right. I'd say that's enough for a show. Yeah, boys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. that'll do it. We'll see you next week. You can go to NintendoWorldReport.com. You can go to Patreon.com/NWR. You can follow Donald Terrio on Twitter at Donald Mick. You can follow Justin on Twitter at King Nintendo Fan. Follow me on Twitter at CULAFIA. That's our show. Check us out on iTunes. I'll read reviews. If you post them there, I'll read them on a future episode. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye. Later.